Tonight, you're going to make a memory that will last a lifetime. That memory could be of you standing in a roaring crowd, helping your team defend home ice. Or that memory could be of you watching the game at home, while your spouse clips her toenails, and your son practices the saxophone, and your daughter makes a smoothie. Get your tickets on StubHub. Your ticket out.
This is Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
801, 16 right now. See a high of 18 degrees today. Your weekend looking wet as well. We're going to get some rain later on this afternoon. And rain all weekend, 19 to 21 for Saturday and Sunday. We've got some NFL to get to. Week 4 kicked off yesterday with the Bengals handing it to the Miami Dolphins. Surprise, surprise, the Dolphins blow. And lots of other good stories to talk about as well as Week 4 gets underway. It did last night. We'll get to all that next with Jason Lack and Four, so hold on for that. Also, Elliot Friedman, Friege, joins us this hour. Talk about the World Cup of Hockey. Canada won 2-1 yesterday, so we had that going for us last night in the city of Toronto. We definitely did not have baseball going for us last night. Jays lose 4-0 to the Baltimore Orioles. Now tied, should be in the rear view 4 games back, but now tied because of that unbelievably spiritless, emotionless, boring-ass game yesterday. And we'll ask Jason Lacken for his thoughts. If you follow him on Twitter, which I encourage people to do, he was chirping me the other day as well. And I love it. It's all in good fun. We'll get his thoughts on his Orioles giving it to our Toronto Blue Jays. Right now, though, time for an update. Here's George. Hey, man.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm super.
Great.
And this update is brought to you by Shoeless Joe's Sports Grill, your ultimate destination. Blue Jays, as you mentioned to Dean, they lost 4-0 to the Orioles in the rubber last night down at Rogers Center. Jays only mustered 3 hits while Marcus Stroman was okay in 7-plus innings of work. Marco Estrada on the mound tonight in the opener of a massive 3-game series in Boston against the Red Sox. Rick Porcello on the hill for Boston. 7 o'clock right here. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, or stream it on Sportsnet now. Elsewhere, the Tigers and Indians game was rained out in Detroit while the Mariners beat the A's 3-2. So the Jays and Orioles tied for the top 2 wildcard spot. Detroit 1.5 games back, while Seattle is 2 games back. Canada won the World Cup of Hockey last night thanks to late goals from Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand as they beat Team Europe 2-1. The Maple Leafs lost in a shootout 1-0 to Buffalo and some preseason puck down in St. Catharines. Auston Matthews makes his debut tonight. The Thursday nighter had the Bengals all over the Dolphins 22-7 in the Natty. And this Ryder Cup update is brought to you by
Stuart. Do you have to call it the Natty all the time?
In Cincinnati, this Ryder Cup update is brought to you by Stewart Golf and Moto Caddy. The opening 4 matches are foursomes. Alternate shot this morning as Team America tries to win for the first time since 08. They take on Team Europe and Hazeltine in Minnesota.
Thank you, sir. It is 8:04. Welcome to the program, NFL Insider, CBS Sports. Jason Lack and Ford. Jay, how are you?
Oh, I've never been better, guys. How are you? What's going on up there? It's sunny and warm, and everybody's just happy to be alive.
Where are you calling us from, by the way?
Where are you guys calling me?
You
guys are calling me in Baltimore.
You were calling. You're calling us from Baltimore. That's great. Now, listen, you and I have had a good little, I don't want to say a tilt, but we've had a couple of nice exchanges on Twitter, and we've said this before, all in good fun. You're the most obnoxious Baltimore Orioles fan ever.
I appreciate you asking people to follow me at a time when apparently you thought you had this series.
Yeah, that was that 2-0 game. So I told people, did you see it? And I used those arrows. I used the arrows. Follow this guy. Like I used the emojis.
Watch this loser meltdown on the internet.
Did you get some followers out of that or no? Do you need any?
I'm sure I lose followers like over the Orioles thing. I'm sure I lose thousands of them, but that's fine.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. And then of course, as soon as they made that comeback in the ninth inning, you explode on Twitter, and then you ask me where I've been for a couple hours.
Yeah, well, how can you ever retweet me in those last few innings? What happened? Did something change?
Yeah, they lost, and it broke my heart. That's what changed.
Yeah, tough one. Is everybody sick of Batista up there? You are. You guys can admit it now. He's leaving. You're not going to bring him back. He's a bum. Like, that act is so played out, right?
What act?
You guys can admit that?
Which act? Which one?
Just the sort of aloof, thinks he's a real hero, but he's basically a villain, like basically born to be a heel. Moronic stuff on the base paths, like making other teams hate your team more.
I know he cemented himself in Blue Jays history with the bat flip last year, and he hasn't had a good one this year. But, yeah, he has a bit of a dark persona. I tell you what, he's kept him in it in the last probably 3 weeks, so he's hit some monster, and I mean monster home runs. You just don't like his personality.
He's breaking down.
He might
I don't want him in my clubhouse.
You wouldn't?
No.
So if the Orioles get a chance to sign him in the offseason, you say
I
no mas?
Nothing to do with him. I knew he would have a bad season this year. He struck me as one of these guys who was going to be his walk year. You know, it didn't come together last year. I thought was their time, and when they didn't win last year, and he's getting older, and he to me is not a guy who would handle not getting paid before the season started very well.
Mm. Just heard from my producer Ryan Faber, who you speak with, and he said something, and I'll echo it. I hope he absolutely crushes in Boston, and then you eat those words, and then I hope Gary Sanchez drops three or four dongs on you guys, and it's over in New York before it begins. That's what I hope.
Yeah, we'll see. What's this here media? What's going on inside the Blue Jays clubhouse? Toronto Sun. I was just reading this with my coffee here. They're blaming the media now? What's going on?
I don't know. Read it. I haven't even read it. I don't read that one.
Blue Jays manager John Gibbons was asked prior to Thursday's game against the Orioles how his club was holding up with the pressure to make the playoffs, getting hotter and hotter. Good for the most part, Gibbons said. There's definitely frustration. There's going to be. That's the game. You're at it every day. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I got this retweeted from Buster Olney. Oh. The Jays have certainly picked an odd time for a media feud. I thought the update was going to be longer. I thought you'd dwell more on last night's game, and I'd have more time to fully digest.
No, we've been on the air for two. We've been on the air for 2.5 hours, Jay. So we've been very honest with blowing it. Like literally, y'all should be 4 games back. We should have won that game 2-0. And what a complete change of circumstances for the Baltimore Orioles because of Hyun Soo Kim's 9th inning home run. Right?
Woke them up. They've been lethargic for really since the All-Star break. Had not played with a lot of energy. The night when after game one, Buck Showalter, who was will defend these guys to the all lengths of the world. When he said, "I think you'll see a better product tomorrow. You'll see we'll see a more engaged baseball team." That was to me him getting himself thrown out of that game, and then that's as much as he'll ever rip them after the game. That, to me, was him now being willing to concede what other people have said, which is that they've had a lack of energy. There isn't a lot of chatter in that dugout. They don't respond to adversity well. People would not cut down on their swings and just try to hit line drives. And, yesterday, what did they do? It's all they did. Mm-hmm. It was all singles and doubles, like stealing bases. Oh, my God, trying to lay down a bunt, fundamental baseball. I mean, you knew they had a great bullpen. You knew they could catch the ball. They can hit solo home runs, but they had to find other ways to manufacture offense, and unfortunately, it did it at your expense.
Yeah, thanks. That's a nice reminder, and really nice of Ubaldo Jimenez to find himself at this point in the season. I highly doubt he'll be on the...
That's been going on for about 5 weeks now, though. That's not like just a...
Do you have to delete some Jimenez tweets after last night's game?
It all happened, man. Hey. It makes us stronger collectively to have gone through that together.
All right. Let's get to the NFL. Jason Lackenford joins us as NFL insider for CBS Sports. Can I ask you quickly, what's going on with Josh Gordon other than the fact that he's obviously got some substance abuse issues? He's going to rehab. He's had a tough go. He's been suspended a bunch of times. Didn't think he'd be back in it. He gets back in it this year for the Cleveland Browns. They go from bad to worse. What's up with him?
I mean, you pretty much said it. He has... he has some demons, and he has some...
I thought it was just weed.
...abuse issues. Yeah, well, I mean, in this league, that's enough to wreck your career. Alcohol and marijuana will be enough to completely torpedo you with the way that this drug testing is set up and with how maybe draconian's too strong of a word, but it is relentless. It is constant testing. It is having to check in wherever you go. If you and your wife decide you want to drive 3 hours to the beach and you don't let them know ahead of time that you're not going to be home and they decide they want to test you that day and you're not where you're supposed to be, a missed test, being late to a test, a diluted test in many ways are going to hurt you as much as a failed test. So it is incredibly difficult. It really gets in guys' minds. I don't know that the emphasis is on sort of holistic treatment as much as it is punitive to me, but that's the reality. That's their collective bargaining agreement. That's what they've signed up for. And it would appear to me in this instance that he knew he was probably facing further ramifications. He knew he either probably had recently failed a test or was going to probably fail a test. And, you know, the reality hit home that I've got to really get myself into a different situation and an inpatient extended attempt to right myself one last time. He won't play for the Browns again. I mean, they've been incredibly loyal to this point, and I can't see them now waiting to see what happens. We don't even know his status as well. Like, yeah. You know, he's going to go away for 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, but his reinstatement was always conditional on him being completely clean while he's suspended. So the clock sort of gets reset. The league will have to decide where he is in the substance abuse program. Is he facing further suspension? It's very unlikely we see him play football again. And that's what I would have told you over the summer, and that's what I would have told you the fall before that, and that's what I would have told you the summer before that, because that is the reality of this drug program. For every Von Miller who manages to stay clean long enough to actually get out of the program entirely, there are hundreds of other guys who you really never hear from again.
Will the NFL ever get rid of that program?
I've been banging against it and railing against it and writing columns about how stupid it is.
Because everybody smokes dope. Like, I watched Kevin Durant drop a whole bunch of spliffs out of his pocket on TMZ about a year ago. You know, they don't test for recreational drugs. And if they do test for them in every other major professional sport, it is not even close to the issue. Like, it seems to be ridiculous with the advancement. I mean, the stuff's legal, and it's going to be legal all over the world in a matter of a year to 2 years.
Agree. Look, you should have seen what the old standards used to be. They used to have, before they changed some of the protocols about a year ago, you could have more marijuana in your system and fly a plane or be an air traffic controller than you could being a football player. It was such trace amounts in your system. It was, the threshold was lower than WADAs. Higher than WADAs, higher than air traffic controllers. It was unbelievable. So they loosened it up some, and they changed it, and it didn't make it as punitive, but the crux of it stayed as is. And I would think that the NFLPA would make this a much more significant pillar of negotiations in the next, you know, in the next 4 years or so when it comes around again, because it is ridiculous. And I don't know why we're in these guys' dens and living rooms and basements to the degree we are. If you get arrested for anything involving marijuana or alcohol, then you should be in the substance abuse program. If you're a recreational drug user who's doing whatever they're doing in their home and, you know, not having it become a legal matter of the courts in any degree, I don't know why the NFL cares.
Jason, last night we saw Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins struggle big time in Cincinnati, minus that big bomb to Kenny Stills early in the game.
Nothing.
He did absolutely nothing. Who's got a worse deal, Jay Cutler for their team or Ryan Tannehill for the Dolphins?
It's pretty similar, because while the coaching staff there are relatively new, obviously Adam Gase is only four games into this, and Fox is, what, four games into his second year. For a lot of the veteran players, it's not new. You know what I mean? It's year five or six for them. It's not a novelty. They've been living it and watching it and disgusted by it for a long time. And while locker rooms change, guys still talk, and there is a perception in both those locker rooms that this ain't the one for us. But, you know, the coaches aren't convinced of that, not by a long shot. And, you know, Adam Gase is a very headstrong guy, and he's done – look, he won a playoff game with Tim Tebow. So he's not going to give up on Ryan Tannehill after 4 weeks. Now, if I take their temperature in December, it may be a little bit different. As of now, they're all in with that kid. They think they can win with that kid. They think they've won with worse quarterbacks in the past. They think once they get a semblance of their offensive line together and maybe find somebody who can run the ball a little bit, that people will be off Tannehill's back and he'll be okay. We'll see. Last night, he did himself no favors. They've got to get their center Pouncey back, without a doubt. They've got to get their left tackle, Brandon Albert, back, without a doubt. They think they'll have them both for their next game. I've never been a Tannehill guy. I haven't seen it. I think it's fool's gold. But trust me, that staff is not anywhere close to having the mindset that I have yet. But it's also only four games. Let's see. You know, let's see in the second half of the season.
Jason, real quick, Dez Bryant didn't show up from an MRI because he was afraid of the results.
Yeah.
How tired is Izak getting in Dallas outside of Jerry Jones?
You know, I don't get the sense that locker room has real significant issues with him. I think what's getting old there is all the guys with the drug suspensions. It's Randy Gregory out 14 games. It's DeMarcus Lawrence finally coming back from suspension now. It's all the drama with Greg Hardy. It's been their defensive line and their ends and the propensity to get suspended and get yourself in significant trouble off the field. It's the enabling of that, I think, much more so than putting up with some of Dez's, you know, weird stuff. That's been an issue there. They all know that Dez shows up on Sunday. Dez wants to win as much as anybody in that locker room. He exhibits it not always in the best way, but they know they're not going to the promised land without Dez.
Jay, as always, appreciate having you on. With the exception of days like today.
The pleasure was all mine, Jeff.
Hey, let's hope we can chirp each other and be obnoxious together in a wild card, either
it'll
in Baltimore great. Or here. We'll talk to you soon.
That'd be great. Look
Take
forward
care.
To it.
Thanks, all right,
guys.
Man. Take care. This is Jason Lankin for NFL Insider, CBS Sports, obnoxious Orioles fan. This hour is brought to you by Jack Link's Hangry Moments. Don't be hangry. Reach for a bag of always delicious, put it in your mouth protein goodness. Jack Link's Beef Jerky. Feed your wild side. 16 degrees right now at 8:17. Please welcome to the show another insider for the NHL on Sports and Hockey Night in Canada, Elliot Friedman. Hey, Friedge.
Good morning.
How are we?
Better than your average Blue Jay fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there'll be no living with Kiprios today.
No, he wasn't even paying attention last night. I can't believe he could even go on the air.
Yeah, tough one. But, you know, I guess the silver line is funny because I was watching the game and then the game ended and went immediately to Canada-Europe, game two of the World Cup of Hockey. They're down 1-0. I'm like, there's going to be no good news to talk about tomorrow morning. But the last 3 minutes, they pull it out. Hell of a game, great result, and Canada wins yet again.
Yeah, and the numbers are amazing. When you look at the best on best, since they lost in Vancouver to the United States in the final game of their round robin, at best on best, they've now won 16 in a row. And if you add Crosby's World Championship appearance in 2015, he's won 25 straight in a Canada uniform. It's this generation of players. And, you know, Crosby was interesting in his post game with Scott Oak, his interview on the ice. He talked about whether or not, you know, this particular group of seven, you know, for Weber and maybe Getzlaff and Perry, this could be their last one. And, you know, those guys are in a group that you are going to make an argument that we're Canada's best international players ever.
Now, I asked this question to Nick Kiprios or Doug McLean. They didn't know the answer to this. How many more is Babcock going to coach of these, Elliot?
You know, we were talking about this the other day, George, between games one and two. There are some people who believe in term limits. Gretzky was one. Steve Yzerman was another. I don't think Babcock does. I think he just loves this. You know, I think that he's a guy who is absolutely driven and consumed by the challenge. And it's one of the things I really respect about him the most. He loves the challenge of proving himself in this. And I don't know if he's going to want to walk away. I could see them if they go to South Korea in 2 years. You know, he's the kind of guy who will look at it and say, okay, can I win this again? And can I make the Maple Leafs a winner at the same time? He won't run away from the challenge of doing that. So, you know, I could see him saying he'd like to do it again, and I'm going to be very curious when you're as successful as he is, if you're Hockey Canada, do you say it's someone else's turn or you just keep handing him the keys to the car?
Were you surprised that after the game, Babcock, who he said, hey, listen, I want to do this in Toronto as well, that he didn't, when someone asked him how he felt, he didn't say, well, you know, our power play wasn't terrific. A little upset with the first line. They didn't put it together. I mean, you know, he's such a driver, and that's you know, it shouldn't surprise us, but it does, where he's talking about how the first line a couple of games ago didn't play the best game that they've had played all tournament, and they had, you know, I think they had 6 points collectively in that game. Like he's such a, I mean, I don't know that I've ever met a guy who's harder to please.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the, I've asked him before, you know, what do you read? What are the kinds of things you read? And he's a big Belichick guy. He's read Education of a Coach by Bill Belichick. And in it, there's somewhere in there, I believe, where Belichick talks about, hey, when you win it all, don't nitpick. And Babcock is cut very much from the same mold. You know, I think he knows he constantly has his foot on the gas when they're going. From the moment they show up till it's all over, he's pressuring them, pressuring them, pressuring them. But when the ultimate goal is achieved, he doesn't do that. And that's the smart approach.
Leafs played tonight. They played yesterday, lost 1-0. Very boring game. So we don't, I mean, let's not.
I didn't even know they were playing.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, sorry.
Leafs play tonight, and we get Marner and Matthews, which will be exciting. And I was saying this morning, you know, this might be, and I know the Jays play tonight as well, but I am going to, maybe for the first time in 3-4 years, make a point of trying to catch some of it, because I'm really excited, genuinely excited, to see both of these guys, not just Matthews, but to see what Marner can do as well.
Well, I'm actually really curious. You think Babcock's going to be behind the bench tonight?
I think so. Have you met him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. There's no question that it's going to be interesting to see those two guys together. How much they even get a chance to play with each other, whether it's regular season or even exhibition games. I mean, it's hard not to be excited by Matthews. From what we saw in the limited time here. Now, yes, he was playing with McDavid, but I think it's really interesting. First of all, he showed how incredibly skilled he is on his own, number one. Number two, he showed that he can play with great players, and I think independently he will be a great player himself. It's hard not to be excited about Matthews after seeing him at this event. And, you know, I just think it's going to be really fascinating to see. You know, this is going to be a weird preseason. I always tell people, don't overestimate the first week of the preseason. It's not until week two that the best players start to care and really say, oh, okay, I'm going to get myself into regular season shape now. I think the other thing is, if you had a player that went far at the World Cup, like, you know, Europe and Canada did, I'm betting these teams say, do you even want to play a preseason game at all? So I'm curious to see what kind of opposition he's going to face in the last week.
Yeah, and back to the World Cup, too. Do you think they revisit this, the format? Do you think it happens again like this?
Well, to me, you know, aside from Team Canada winning it all, what two teams made the most news?
Yeah.
It was Europe.
North America.
Europe, you know, almost put Canada in the place of having a very nervous Game 3. And Canada steamrolled through everyone else, and North America got all the buzz. You know, it's funny. Like, I think they should bring these two teams back. I know in Team Europe's case, you know, if this tournament's in North America, you want Team USA to do well, right? And the NHL has some investment in Team USA doing well for the U.S. TV market. And someone said to me, this Europe team is so good, I wonder if they're going to bring them back because it's just another obstacle for someone like the Americans to run through. I love the idea. I hope they bring it back this way. I think you should bring back Team North America with the caveat that, as Wayne Gretzky has said, if you've played for Team North America once, you get the opportunity to be called up to your national team, even if you're young enough. And if they don't put you on the team, then you go back to Team North America. I love it. And you know what? The thing I liked about this is that the NHL wasn't afraid to tinker. This is a league that sometimes is afraid to do that. You can leave the national teams to the Olympics, and you can try some different things here. And guys, you know what I hope they try at some point is Canada B. And the way I suggest you do it is you let the first Canadian team pick 18 skaters and a goalie. And that way, so like a guy like Giroux or a guy like Muzzin or a guy like Crawford doesn't have to be a backup on an A-team. You let Team Canada A pick 18 skaters and a goalie. Then you let Team Canada B take 18 skaters and a goalie. And then you go about doing the subs. I hope someday we finally get a chance to see if a Canada B team and how could win or how good it would be.
Think they can maybe rejig the trophy as well. I still don't know what that is.
Well, you need somewhere to put your umbrella, right?
And your walking cane. Thanks, Elliot. Have a great weekend.
All right. Good luck to all the Jays fans this weekend. I want a home game on Tuesday. That's all I want. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not. Not for you. I asked Nervous Nick if he wanted to go with me, and he said he'd meet me there. Is that bad?
You know what that means?
Yeah.
He's expecting you to pay for everything.
Yeah, probably. Have a good one, Elliot.
Take care, guys.
Take care. Elliot Friedman, insider for the NHL and Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, World Cup of Hockey. Got a Leaf game tonight. Matthews and Marner both playing tonight. Going to watch it. Excited for the first time in a long time. 826. This is a first. We have a professional competitive eater and current world hot dog eating champion and a chicken wing eating champion getting ready to take on the poutine eating champion, Matt Stone. His name's Joey Chestnut. He's going to join us coming up in just a second to talk about food and how, well.
He's number one in the world, Dean. He's the Novak Djokovic of eating.
Yeah, that's next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
30 seconds now to go. Joey Chestnut with seven. He's averaging still 7.1 dog per minute. Can he get to the record? Can he get past it? Is he going to get anywhere near 70? He's got to get that one down. There we go with 69. Final second.
He got it.
And he got 70.
The most
he
hot dogs.
70.
The most hot dogs ever eaten on the corner of Surf and Stillwell Avenues by the greatest eater in the history of mankind.
That's something. The greatest eater in the history of mankind. Mankind eats, especially in America. Joey Chestnut, who is the current world hot dog eating champion, Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Champion, got his crown back this year, or belt, or whatever, bucket. Joins us coming up next. He's going to be eating some poutine, Young Dundas Square. We'll talk to him coming up in a minute. He's going to try and get that championship under his belt as well. Jeff Blair is going to join us. Interesting article that Jason Lackenfora was talking about this morning about issues in the Jays clubhouse and a couple of reporters that are not well-liked from the city and what this has kind of done, not well-liked actually in the clubhouse, pardon me, what this has sort of done. It's a weird kind of story that's starting to percolate. Anyway, Jeff Blair is going to join us coming up in a few minutes, as well as your plays of the week. Before we get to Joey Chestnut, please welcome with an update my friend, the bearded wonder.
Thank you.
Beardo.
Hi.
Hairball, George Russick, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Dean. This update is brought to you by Scotia Bank, which, by the way, was a very proud sponsor of the World Cup of Hockey. Blue Jays lost 4-0 in the rubber to the Orioles last night. They kick off a massive three-game set tonight in Boston against the Red Sox. It is Marco Estrada on the mound, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet. We're streaming on Sportsnet now. Yesterday, Tigers and Indians, they were rained out in Detroit while the Mariners beat the A's 3-2. So the Jays and Orioles tied for the top two wildcard spots. Detroit's 1.5 games back while Seattle's 2 games back of a playoff spot. Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand scored late in the third period as Canada beat Team Europe 2-1 to capture the World Cup of Hockey. The Leafs lost in some preseason puck down in St. Catharines, 1-0 to the Sabres in a shootout. The Thursday nighter saw the Bengals hammer the Dolphins in Cincinnati 22-7. And this Ryder Cup update is brought to you by Stewart Golf and Moto Caddy. They're about to get it going. The opening four matches are foursomes, their alternate shot between Team America and Team Europe. That event goes down in Hazeltine in Minnesota.
Thanks, George. 8:35. Please welcome to the program the world champion hot dog eating champion, champion of the world. Also, the chicken wing eating champion of the world. He needs very little introduction. The professional competitive eater, Joey Chestnut. Joey, how are you?
Doing great.
Yeah. Well, listen. First of all, congratulations on eating all them hot dogs.
Oh, you know, it was great. I got my title back.
Yeah.
New record and. Now I'm just traveling around the world being Peter Pan and just having fun.
Now this is what you do for a living, right? You physically make money from eating as much as you can in this short period of time.
Oh, yeah. I like I said, I travel around. There's contests all around the world. I'm lucky to be here eating at Smoke's Poutinery. And there's contests all around, and I usually dominate.
Okay. Now you're the chicken wing eating champion, you're the hot dog eating champion, but you're not the poutine eating champion. That belongs to Matt Stone, is that correct?
Well, I still hold the record. He did beat me last 2 years. I've been, you know, I'm no excuses. This year I'm coming out and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm sitting right next to the CEO of Smoke's Poutinery. and he's been telling me how they're going to cook it. So Ryan, he has me set up to really push for a new record this year.
Is how much poutine did you eat last year?
Last year I ate just under 20 pounds. My record is about 24 pounds.
24. And, so you're 24 pounds of poutine. How many boxes is that?
Oh, 28 boxes. 40. Oh no, 48. Yeah, 48 half pound boxes.
Now, do you just shovel it in with your hand, Joey?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not the prettiest technique, but it's effective. I just go caveman on it, and I get it done.
You talk about how it's being cooked differently this year. Why does that affect the way you shovel it in your mouth?
Well, they're going to make sure it's nice and warm and tasty. They're going to be giving it out all day, starting at 10 to 4 p.m. They'll be giving out free poutine at Young Dundas Square.
Young and, Dundas, yeah. Free. Dundas. Sorry, excuse me. They're giving out free poutine at Young Dundas Square.
Yeah so it's going to be a great party. There'll be a Kiss cover band. There'll be games and raffles. And the contest starts at 3. But people should come out, get some free poutine, and just have... It'll be a poutine party.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. When I grew up, Joey Chestnut joins us, hot dog eating champion, chicken wing eating champion, and trying to be the poutine eating champion. When I grew up, I used to want to do two things, either play professional hockey or I wanted to become a fighter pilot. None of those things happened. When you grew up, did you go, you know what, I'm going to eat my way to success?
You know what, I actually wanted similar. I wanted to be a pilot. And I wanted to be a baseball player. Mm-hmm. I went to college for engineering, and while I was getting my degree, my little brother signed me up to my first contest.
And how did you know?
Made me go.
Well, what was the first contest, and how did you know you could do this?
I didn't know I could do it. I grew up in a big family, and he knew I could eat more than everybody in the family, so he signed me up, and the sponsor gave me a free hotel room at a casino. So I was 21.
What were you eating?
And it was lobster.
How much lobster did you eat?
I did just about 3 pounds of meat in 10 minutes, and I'd never eaten lobster before, but I fell in love with the whole competition thing, beating people, and for a long time I was a weekend warrior, and it just got bigger and bigger.
Is there something you won't eat?
Raw oysters. I just can't, the texture, it's like, it's not, and it's salty. It's like, I can't believe anybody eats them. It should be a little bit against the law.
They should just have those contests for, like, two-year-olds.
Right. Joey, Joey, do you eat hot dogs in your spare time?
Oh, I love a good hot dog. A good all beef hot dog, Nathan. It's really, you can load it with anything.
Yeah,
it's a great vessel. You can put cheese, grilled onions, raw onions, anything on there.
How many do you eat in your like spare time, like in front of the television, like, watching a ball game?
Will you cram like 30, or will you eat like a normal human being?
I eat pretty normal. If I'm at a baseball game, I'll average like a hot dog and beer every two innings. That's not too bad. It's about 4.5 beers and hot dogs. But in between contests, I have to eat really healthy. Otherwise, I'll gain weight. And part of being, I love to win. And so if I gain weight, I can't eat as well. So in between contests, I'm actually eating a lot of those silly salads and some chicken. But I eat healthy on the weekdays. So on the weekends, I can just go to town.
Joey Chestnut, professional competitive eater, joins us. He's eating some poutine, trying to eat 24, 25 pounds of it. That's his record, 24 pounds. How many calories in 24 pounds of poutine?
I think it's like 17,000.
Yeah, that's so that I'm thinking is probably more than the like the daily average.
It's quite a bit more, but you make your body adapt to things. It's the same way a marathon runner can make their body adapt to that crazy 26 miles. Yeah. I've slowly made my body used to digesting, ingesting.
Do you digest it? Joey, do you digest it all?
Well, it goes through me. I'm not saying I'm going to absorb all those calories, I go in nice and empty. I give it a clean highway, and. My body, you don't need pictures. But
hey, Joey, real quick, what does a doctor say to you about all this?
It took a couple years to find the right doctor. And
the doctor
Mexico
that agreed
Joey,
with,
was he in Mexico?
She got Michael Jackson's doctor. Sure, go ahead.
Well, you got to find the right doctor. Doctor feel good. And he does my blood work, and he makes sure that everything's working. And it's great to go to the doctor and give me, all right, whatever you're doing in your body, it's not hurting it. That allows me to just go and push, keep pushing hard and having fun.
Righto. Tell Ryan Smolkin I said hi.
I will.
All right, man. Hey man. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. It's good talking to you.
Thanks. Good luck. That's Joey Chestnut, world competitive eating champion of hot dogs, chicken wings, and poutine. Yes, George.
We've talked to some great athletes on this station and on this show.
That may be the most fun I've had in a while.
He's the pinnacle of athleticism.
24 pounds of poutine. Like, I can't get through a half a pound.
Yeah.
24 pounds of French fries, awesome. Cheese, and gravy. That is awesome. Like a boss. Jeff Blair on those Blue Jays troubles, the last three games, where they sit, and this rumor of clubhouse issues. It's percolating. That's next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Dean Blundell and Company's Plays of the Week.
Pass in front of the goalie, score!
This is it!
They say beggars can't be choosers. That's what my dad used to tell me when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Dad, can I have some water? Beggars can't be choosers. Drink this beer.
Yeah, home plate umpire.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Issued warnings to both
the umpire, which is what an umpire uses to fix things. An umpire.
Russ Martin went out to the mound with Osuna just before that pitch to Kim some guy, whatever his name is.
Who the f*** is that guy?
But you look at the trends, and you know that Jason Gurley is not only slowing down, it's a screeching halt.
Okay. He's 37.
He's 39.
Whatever. Code or no code, if you're losing to the Jays and they're acting like that, that would annoy you in any sport.
There's no part in this game for that.
Thank you, Goose.
We should be spending more time talking about Toronto FC. I believe they're first in their division, which is the Lakers division.
I'm glad I don't have a car.
Why?
Well, when you're talking soccer, I have to find another station.
I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
Dad, I need to use the washroom. And then he'd haul this one out. I beg to differ.
Andrew Luck shook off a sore shoulder. Glorious.
You're right.
No.
I think Max Pacioretty.
Come on, try getting it out.
How about the sniffing that Trump did all through the whole
sniffing.
Thing?
That's Trump.
That makes me smart.
I just don't have time to follow soccer.
Who's your favorite player?
We're waiting.
Oh, my buddy's daughter plays it. I really like her.
What are the chances George would end up falling in love with and living with a very nice, lovely, attractive woman? Probably not.
Look at me. I'm the happiest guy in the world.
You lie!
Just waking up every day and French kiss in the morning.
And I can fly higher than an eagle. For you are the wind beneath my wings.
Dean Blundell and Company's Plays of the Week.
Why, Vin?
He can do whatever he wants. Thanks, Monster. Well done.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Good stuff. 8:50. That's almost it for us. We've got about five more minutes. I would like to spend the last 5 minutes of the week with...
Jesus, are you all right?
Sorry about that. I got a hairball there.
Jeff Blair.
Hi, Jeff. Derek Brandeo brought in those, those Portuguese tarts.
Yeah.
The custard things.
Wow. You like tarts?
Oh, God.
You like custard?
I love custard.
So can I ask you
why I say I love custard and you give me that sideways look?
Because I don't like custard.
What, is custard a buzzword for something?
No, I don't like custard. I don't like the texture of custard. Okay, I don't like pudding. I don't like
rice
pudding.
What about the war general?
What?
Custard, not custard. Stupid idiot.
I know. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Honest to God. Do you ever feel like some mornings just sticking a mirror under his nose to make sure he's still alive?
I'd like to do that with the Blue Jays yesterday.
Well, if you did stick a mirror under their nose, there wouldn't be any fog on it.
No. We'll get to the loss and
the series is over. There are no playoff spots.
Crippling that was yesterday. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, man.
There's this article that was written in a local newspaper that that basically... more custard.
No.
That,
try getting it out.
That basically insinuates...
Come on.
That...
Hairball.
I'll read it.
Okay.
Buster only retweeted it. Lackenford told us about it this morning live on the air. He's like, what's going on in your clubhouse? Real issues, apparently. And the issues are that there's no leadership. There's a leadership void. Some infighting. And apparently pictures of two reporters.
Yes.
That have you seen these pictures?
No, I haven't.
Two reporters. It says, do not talk to these guys. Grant them interviews.
Richard Griffin and Cathal Kelly.
I believe.
Okay, well, mystery solved.
Wow, what the hell's a big...
Hey, Blair, beat around the bush.
No, what the hell's a secret? It's like, you know, I mean, that's everybody was talking about in the manager's office yesterday.
That was the discussion? Were you in the manager's office yesterday?
Yeah, it was part of the discussion.
So what's going on with... explain it.
Oh, I mean, you know, as I wrote today in Sportsnet.ca, a team hits the skids the way this one does, and everybody starts poking into the dark corners. I mean, you know, I've been around long enough to kind of have a sense of when a team's gone off the rails, and I think this team's gone off the rails. Does that point to leadership, a lack of leadership in the clubhouse? I think it points to a lack of guys who can hit right now, to be honest, more than anything else. It's an old team. We talked about it. It's an old team. I just think it's a bunch of guys that hit the wall at the same time. I don't know about leadership. I mean, leadership to me in baseball, 162 games, you're there every day, you're traveling 6 months of the year. I've kind of never been able to define what leadership is in baseball. I think leadership is basically a good start from the guy in the mound that particular day.
These guys not like each other?
I think there's obviously some tension in the clubhouse. I mean, there's no doubt. You don't
between
know.
Who?
I don't know, but I don't think you have a team meeting at the stage of the year the Jays had their team meeting at without something going on. You know, you've got Brunt and I talked about this. This was tailor-made to end sourly. You've got a lot of competing agendas. You've got two guys who are playing for big contracts. You've got R.A. Dickey, who's a potential free agent. You know, you've got guys who have gone through late career surges. You've got guys like Tulo and Martin who are at later stages of their career. I mean, there's a lot of competing agendas here. Mm-hmm. There really is. And, you know, then you toss in the fact you've got a couple of young starting pitchers. There's just a lot of things that could have and did go wrong with this team.
Do they get the home field advantage in the wild card?
No, I think right now, if they make the playoffs, it's a job well done. Because, you know, they're not, they don't look at all, they don't feel at all like a playoff team. But, you know, I would caution people, you know. How a team is around the media. I mean, when I sit down and make a list of the 20 most important things that tell me something about a team, how they are around the media is 30th. I mean, even when I was a print reporter, I didn't give a crap if anybody talked to me.
Do they not talk to anybody anymore?
A lot of them dodge. You know, I mean, I think Josh Donaldson's given like one interview in the last 3 weeks. I mean, a lot of them come out late after games. But in fairness to them, you know, we just finished talking about how old they are. In fairness to them, a guy like Batista, a guy like Donaldson, I mean, they're getting treatment right after the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the problem we have, and I don't have enough time to talk about this. Well, I'm going to anyhow. Part of the problem we...
Okay, so you're getting in trouble
for this very quickly. No, just part of the problem we have is that you've got reporters now absolutely feel that they need to get a comment from somebody to write a story. Everybody's too scared to write that, you know, just picking on Marcus Stroman's fastball sucked last night. Marcus Stroman's fastball wasn't very good. They need a quote from Marcus Stroman saying my fastball is probably better. It's just, we're raising a generation of reporters. And I know a lot of these guys are, you know, under the new generation, but you know, people who are afraid to write what they think and write what they see, you don't need to talk to the players. I mean, just don't. But like I said, I never minded, you know, guys don't talk to me, whatever. It makes my job easier. It's one less guy I have to talk to in the clubhouse. Gets me to the bar earlier.
Yeah, me too. Enjoy, Jeff. It'll be a good day to listen to you. I'm sure you'll be taking some calls. Jeff Blair Show next. Have a great weekend. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.